You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint,
FM.
A daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. February the 6th marked the International Day of Zero Tolerance for Female Genital Mutilation. The World Health Organization estimates that more than 200 million women and girls across the globe have been subjected to this violent practice, which forcibly cuts or mutilates a woman's sexual organs as a so-called rite of passage. Not only is FGM a gross violation of human rights and the dignity of these girls, it's also incredibly dangerous. Diverse people groups practice FGM, including, unfortunately, a few remote tribes who identify as Christian. However, far more Christians have fought the practice than committed it, including missionaries, Christian aid organizations, and many local African Christian communities. These Christians are motivated by a biblical view of humanity, one that includes the inherent dignity of women and children. Nevertheless, one of the most common accusations against Christianity is that it is an oppressively patriarchal religion that either subjugates women or at least devalues them. This accusation is almost exclusively Western and modern. The very first Christians were actually criticized for teaching that women were equal in value to men. It was when Christians distorted the scriptures and used them as justification to devalue women that real harm was done. Still, just as the bad behavior of Christians does not disprove the truth claims of Christianity, neither does the sexism, misogyny, or even abuse committed by some Christian men prove that Christianity itself is sexist. In his new book, More Than a White Man's Religion, Why the Gospel Has Never Been Merely White, Male-Centered, or Just Another Religion, Christian apologist Abdu Murray confronts this accusation against Christianity head-on. He combs through the Bible, including verses that have been misinterpreted in the past as being demeaning to women, to demonstrate that women are consistently portrayed in Scripture as having full human dignity and are, in Christ, indispensable members of the kingdom of God. For the writers of Scripture to specifically name and to honor women like Rahab and Ruth and Naomi and Deborah, as well as the women who served alongside Jesus and the apostles in the gospel accounts, was to make a radically bold statement, especially in an era of human history that more often erased women than included them. Solomon in Proverbs 1 says that wisdom cries aloud in the street, available to anyone willing to seek her, and that anyone who refuses, man or woman, will be in dread of disaster. In other words, the Bible not only invites women to know and serve God, thereby implying they're intellectually capable of doing so, it also radically dignifies women by commanding them to know and to serve God. That's why Christians have long fought for women's access to education. That's why Christians defend the human rights and dignity of women across the world today when others will not. Earlier this month, Biden administration agencies issued statements condemning female genital mutilation, while not only defending, but also promoting the practice at home under the euphemism gender-affirming care. This kind of deadly confusion is only possible in a worldview without a coherent picture of the dignity of all people as they are made, male and female, by God. To learn more about how Christianity dignifies women, ask for a copy of Abdu Murray's new book, More Than a White Man's Religion, when you give a gift of any amount to the Colson Center this month. Just go to colsoncenter.org/February. That's colsoncenter.org/February. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Maria Baer. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to colsoncenter.org.
Breakpoint is made possible by generous gifts from listeners like you. You can support this daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth on our website, breakpoint.org/radio. That's breakpoint.org/radio.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And in the process, in marriage, you need the male and the female to keep their identity so they will have and make music together in a duet that harmonizes. In life, but especially in the intimacy of marriage and the covenant there. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love.
The truth is, marriage can bring out the best of both partners. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Yum begins his message, Resolving Conflict, and challenges you to look at your marriage like your salvation in Christ, a refining relationship that can grow stronger each day. So stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up. Before we get to today's message, we want to send you a special resource to help you build your home on a strong foundation. Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home is a 90-day devotional from Dr. Young designed to help you infuse more joy, peace, and forgiveness into your family. We'll send you Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as our thank you for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We'd like to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Young with today's message, Resolving Conflict.
We've been talking about the family and how the family is essential. I prayed early this morning with a group of men, and they said, how did we get in this mess? Everybody here could ask the same question. We look around America, we say, how in the world did we get in this mess? The answer is very simple. Those of us who are Jesus followers did not effectively stand up. That's how we got in this mess. If my people who are called by my name, that's those of us who are part of the family of God, the family of faith. It begins with the family. We talked about the role of a husband in marriage. It wasn't my opinion. God's instructions for us, gentlemen, right? We talked about the role of a wife in marriage. We didn't say, boy, that's a good idea. No, it's God's job description for the wife in marriage. We talked about how to bring up children. It's not, boy, this is the latest thing in how we can develop in child care. No, no, it is God's clear prescription for bringing up children. And now we talk about conflict. How many of you have had some kind of conflict in your marriage within the last decade? That's 10 years. Would you lift your hand and hold it up? Lift your hand. If you're married, if you've had a conflict, lift it up in the last decade. Hold it up. Hold it up. Everybody. In the last decade. All right. Leave your hand up. If you've had a conflict in the last year, keep your hand up. Those of you who lowered your hand, I'll deal with lying later. The bottom line is, there is conflict in relationships. There is trouble. There is, we call it sometimes, fighting. 20th anniversary coming up for this couple. And she thinks she'll hint to him what she'd like for her 20th anniversary. And she said, I want something shiny that'll go from 0 to 180 in 3 seconds. He thought about it and gave her some bathroom scales. That's when the trouble started. The lawnmower broke in this family. The wife kept saying, get the lawnmower fixed, the grass is growing, but he kept putting it off, and until finally one day he came home from work, and there she was sitting in the yard, high grass. She had some sewing scissors cutting the grass. He got out of the car and looked over at her, went inside the house, got a toothbrush, brought it out and handed it to her and said, when you get through cutting the grass, why don't you wash down the garage? That's when the trouble started. Another couple, he went with her to her 10th high school reunion. They were seated together at a table, and close by was another man at a table by himself, obviously drunk, obviously drinking. And the man said to his wife, you keep looking over at him. Do you know him? She said, oh, yes, that was my high school sweetheart. And she said, I am told that after we broke up, he has been drinking constantly ever since. And her husband said, my, it's unusual for someone to celebrate that long. That's when the trouble started. So we look back on marriage, and there's conflicts, there's fighting, there's disagreement, there's tension, there's trouble. So we need to go back once again and look at the basic, fundamental definition of marriage, Genesis chapter 2. We've been over it. Listen again. God gave us marriage. He said we're to leave, cleave, one flesh, naked, no shame. That's it. Basic, fundamental picture, description of marriage. The operative phrase in there is one flesh. That divine math, 1 + 1 = 1. One flesh. And we go to the Bible, we see this thing of oneness is found all the way through. In John chapter 17, Jesus, just hours before the cross, he prays for all of us. Did you know there's a time in the Bible God prayed for you and prayed for me? He prayed for us, and a part of this prayer is found in John 17, verse 21. That they, that's all of us, may be one, even as you, the Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. In other words, Jesus prayed as he is one with the Father, and we who are in Christ are one with him, that we may be one with the Father may be one with us, and we may be one with Jesus. It's all about three becoming one. It happens in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three become one. It's all about oneness. So our Christian experience, our salvation in Christ, is parallel to marriage. It's the symbol, it's the illustration that is used for marriage, that they might be one. We see Paul expands on this in Ephesians chapter number 4. Tremendous expansion. He talks about oneness. Look how many times in Ephesians 4, look at verse 2, for it says, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity, that's oneness, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, look at verse 7, but in each one of us grace. He talks about unity in verse 3. He talks about in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to building up the body, until we all attain the unity, that is oneness. You have 12 different references and a handful of verses to one, 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 one. One flesh, one in God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, one in the sense of all of our basic understanding of theology and doctrine. 1:1:1. And then Paul gives us exactly what we need in life, but especially in the intimacy of marriage and the covenant there. Look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. A lot of us are real good at speaking the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hold on. A lot of us are good at love. Oh, I wouldn't cross anybody, upset anybody. It's just going to be so sweet, everything. And we're good at love. But the genius of marriage and the genius of communication is being able to speak the truth in love. That's the challenge we have, is it not? And Jesus said there in John 14, I am the way, and his way is the way of love. I am the truth, and I am the life. So we have love plus truth equals life. And we're talking about communication. And then in this very passage, Paul talks about how we live the Christian life. He talks about this way and this truth and this life. And he has two interesting little phrases. He says, you've got to take off the old and you have to put on the new. And that's what we're about, folks. We're always taking off the old person, the old self, the old ideas, the old agenda, the old prejudices, the old pride, and we're putting on all the new, and that's putting on Christ. Take off the old, put on the new. And then he gives us, as you'll see at the end of our study, two tremendous principles that are so vital and effective in marriage, so two can really become one. How do two things mold together? How does that happen? You can do it by freezing. Frozen, 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 we come together. That's one way, isn't it? Boy, it sure is cold. You can freeze things together. That's not marriage. You can take two personalities, you can melt them, and they become one, and you can't tell one from the other. That's not two becoming one. That's not the way we're taught in marriage. You don't lose your identity, lose your personality. Two become one. What happens? Marriage is an amalgamation. Know that word? It means this one becomes this one, but this one keeps all the characteristics, and this one keeps all the characteristics. In marriage, you need to have the feminine quality there. In marriage, you need to have the masculine quality there. That's amalgamation. And there's an old myth that says once human beings had two heads, four arms, and four legs. But there was a conflict, and so there was a dividing. And you got the male and the female divided up that monster. And this is what people talk about. I'm looking for my soulmate, and I've never found her. She must be living in Bangladesh. That is nonsense and mythology, ladies and gentlemen. That's not biblical understanding. You find your soulmate when you are married before God, and there's the husband and the wife and God, and that is a covenant. A covenant. And in the process, in marriage, you need the male and the female to keep their identity, so they will have and make music together in a duet that harmonizes. You don't melt, pour them together. You don't say ice, and just exist together. It is an amalgamation. Give an illustration. By the way, I'm talking in general terms. Most men are immodest with their bodies. But most men are modest with their emotions. In other words, our bodies, you know, we're immodest, but with our emotions, we're very modest. I confess, I talk, I lead, and boy, I pull back. I don't just reveal everything. I don't just go all out. I'm modest. Men are modest with their emotions. Now, women are the other way around. They're modest with their bodies. And they're immodest with their emotions. They just tell it. They just lay it out. They explain it. They go into details. But see, We complement one another. That's marriage. That's the amalgamation. That's God's plan, two becoming one. But in the process today, let me say that a lot of marriages here are in what I call an SOS situation. Save our ship, no, save our marriage. And you've come to the point in your marriage, you said, look, I can't go on any longer. You're thinking about divorce, and you're looking at all the ramifications of divorce, and you're in an SOS situation. Some marriages start like that in a bizarre way, just almost immediately after you get married. Did you read about the couple that got married? I think it was in Chicago, and they got married in a hotel, and they had a reception. And in the reception, the bride is still in her bridal attire, her bride's gown. And in the reception, somehow the manager for the hotel reception shut down the bar, and the bride went ballistic and started talking with the manager. Why did you do this? You've ruined my reception. And in the argument, she picks up the wedding cake and throws it at the manager there in the hotel. Well, all of a sudden, all the waiters and waitresses come to defend the manager as this bride, still in bridal gown, is attacking the manager. And bedlam breaks out in the reception. It goes out in the street, and finally the woman is in the street cussing and pointing to the hotel. What a sorry hotel. And she's accosting people and pushing people down, and finally they arrest her and some others. Oh, yeah. And when she went before the judge and the judge heard the situation, he uttered the understatement of the year. The judge says, what happened at your reception does not bode well for a successful marriage. Hello? It's amazing the conflict we see in marriages. Did you hear about the guy who got a job? He was so thrilled to get this new job, he told his wife to set the alarm to make sure he'd get up early and be there way ahead of time. First day at work, new job, but she forgot to set the alarm. So they slept in an hour or two after he was supposed to be there. He awakened, he went ballistic. You didn't set the alarm. And man, they get a knockdown, drag out. In the process, they get so angry, he reaches over, gets a pistol, and shoots her in the arm. I couldn't make this up. And he is walking out, and she gets a shotgun and shoots him in the other arm, in his arm. They call 911. The police come. The ambulance come. They take him to the emergency room, and they're handcuffed together. Oh, yeah. And one is working on his arm. One is working on her arm. And he says, baby, I'm sorry I shot you. I love you. And she says, baby, I'm sorry I shot you. I love you. Now, boy, there is a country western song in the making. I think it would go something like, I shot you 'cause you didn't tick-tock. And the female will say, I shot you 'cause I love you a lot. This is our world. And sometimes our marriage gets in a SOS situation. Let me give you some wise, godly counsel. Okay? If your marriage is in a SOS situation, whatever the reason, the shooting hadn't erupted yet, but you're there, divorce, I want to ask you a question. Is your marriage worth 30 minutes a day for 6 days? Would you be willing to give 30 minutes a day for 6 days, hoping there's some way for your marriage? Would you do that? Is it worth that? Okay. If it is, let me give you some clear instructions. It wouldn't hurt to write it down, but I don't want to rush you. Very practical instructions. You could write down for somebody else. Get two chairs. Find a room that's quiet, 30 minutes. Cut off everything else. Face one another. Get a clock that ticks, hopefully, where you can hear it. And each one of you have a Bible in your hand, okay? You're going to spend 30 minutes there face to face for 6 days, that's all. Divide that 30 minutes into six segments. The first 5 minutes, the husband and the wife thinks about what it's going to be like without that person. Now, some of you say, boy, it's going to be great. But think about relationships you've had with other couples that will be severed. You can bet on that. Think about all the ramifications of that person being totally, completely out of your life, which they will never will be, by the way, even though you're divorced. But just think about that.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There is one place God will never let you stay. The place where you are right now. Once God touches our lives, we can be certain we will never be the same. He will move us, change us, even shake us up to get us where He wants us to be. You see, for the Christian, there is no such thing as a status quo, the same old thing. Let's just hang in there. Let's just survive. There is a chorus by Ken Miedema that always challenges me. Will you stay where you are, or will you reach for a star? Play the game. Be a fraud, or die to self, and live to God. This could be victory's hour. Claim His grace. Claim His power. That's the question today. Will you stay where you are, or reach for a star? Is God calling you to change something in your life? Don't stay put. Reach for a star, and let Him take you to new heights.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you discover the sturdy, happy home that's possible when you establish your family on the foundation of Christ with Dr. Young's resource, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. This 90-day devotional gives you the tools you need to fill your home with joy, peace, and forgiveness, because God created these relationships to fill you up, not run you down. So call now to request Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow and hear Dr. Young wrap up his message with more proven truth and how to meet your spouse in the middle when it comes to life's little annoyances.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.
Tonight, I promise you that everything is gonna be alright. Hold your head up high, look up to the sky. Everything is gonna be alright. He's everything that you'll ever need. Alright. Just when you think it ain't, it's gonna be.
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI. Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
I don't know what you need FM. To be free from. But whatever it is, freedom is staring you right in the face.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no need to be enslaved by detrimental thoughts or emotions anymore.
I know somebody who's been duly authorized and anointed with supernatural power to set captives free.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The good news of the gospel is that freedom is free. So why aren't more of us experiencing it? Well, Dr. Evans will have the answer today in a special message taken from Luke chapter 4. Let's join him.
In the harbor of New York City, stands a lady inscribed on Lady Liberty, as you so well know, are these words: give me your tired and your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless tempest toss, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. On Lady Liberty's crown are seven spikes, reflecting seven seas and seven continents, where the invitation stands open to all to come to freedom. At the base of Lady Liberty is a chain that has been broken. She stands there in the harbor of New York to represent what this nation was to be founded upon and the nature of how it operates. She's called Lady Liberty because she stands for freedom. Freedom is not something that belongs to a country or nation. Freedom is something that God offered in the Garden of Eden. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat. We have defined freedom as release from illegitimate bondage, so that you can now experience becoming what you were created and redeemed to be. We have tried to explain that the freest people in the world ought to be Christians. Paul has made it clear in one of our previous discussions that it was for freedom Christ has set you free. He set you free to be free. He didn't set you free to stay in bondage. And yet, many of us today find ourselves bound. Personal bondages, known as addictions, the biblical phrase for it, strongholds. Things that are holding us hostage and keeping us from being what we know God wants us to be. I'm not talking about the person who doesn't care now. I'm not talking about the person who's in rebellion. I'm talking about the person who really wants to be free. They want to leave where they are and get to where they're supposed to go. And you're looking for freedom. There are relational bondages where people are bound to people that they shouldn't be bound to, known as codependency. Or people wanting to know, do I have to stay in this relationship? Am I stuck here? Am I bound to this unhappy situation I find myself in? And they are longing to be free. There are circumstantial bondages that people find themselves in, whether it's economic, and they're bound by the reality of not having enough or barely having enough to make ends meet. Or maybe there are physical realities where they're bound to feeling bad because of circumstances happening within their bodies. and they long to be free from the disease. Freedom, or the desire for freedom, comes in all shapes and all sizes. We have explained, freedom does not mean no restrictions. Freedom means being released from illegitimate restrictions. You're not free to live in water because you weren't created for that. So you're bound by air and land. So freedom doesn't mean the absence of restrictions. It just means the removal of illegitimate restrictions. God in the garden gave a restriction: from every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree in the midst of the garden you may not. That is off limits. That is a legitimate restriction. So the issue in freedom is not whether there's restriction versus no restriction. When you watch a football game, there will be restrictions. There will be boundaries so that the game can be free to be played. No boundaries, there's chaos in the stadium. It is the removal of illegitimate boundaries. So the question to discuss freedom is this boundary legitimate or illegitimate? And one of the things that you will always know about freedom, and that is that boundaries will always enhance it, never destroy it, if it's a legitimate boundary. Having said all we've said, and we've talked about freedom up, down, in and out, how do we conclude? Jesus Christ has now gone public. He is now asserting who he is as the Son of God and the Son of Man, all God, all man in one person. The most unique person who has ever entered history. There is nobody like Jesus Christ. He is not one among many. He is to be compared with no one, because there's no other name other than the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. He is in a class by himself. He is fully God, but he's also fully man. As a man, his job was to represent God in history. And so he got hungry because he was a man. He said, "I thirst," because he was a man. He had to sleep because he was a man. But he could walk on water because he was God. He could raise the dead because he was God. He could move in his humanity based on his relationship to deity. He comes to the synagogue in the neighborhood where he grew up, Nazareth. And they hand him the book of Isaiah, and he turns the pages and comes to Isaiah chapter 61, and then he quotes it or reads it. He says in verse 18 of Luke 4, as he's reading Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, and he has anointed me to preach good news," the gospel. The word gospel means good news. When we talk about the gospel, we're talking about good news. That's what it means. The euangelion, that is the good message, good news. And it was good news about freedom. He says, "I have good news for poor people." He says, "I've got good news to captives. I've got good news to the blind, and I've got good news to the oppressed." All of them need to be freed from something. The poor from poverty, the captives from their captivity, the blind from sightlessness, the oppressed from their slavery. He says, "I have come to declare good news, and the Spirit of God is upon me and has anointed me." When he says that he has been anointed, it means he has been duly dubbed. He has been identified and recognized by God through the Holy Spirit to proclaim good news. Jesus Christ has good news to you and me today about freedom. He's the authorized representative of God as a man to tell other men and women the good news of freedom. In the Old Testament, to be anointed meant to be dubbed. David was anointed as king. That means he was one recognized as to having been identified with God, by God, as the new leader for Israel, or as the next priest. He has been selected, if you will. Jesus Christ has been uniquely selected to proclaim to people good news about freedom. And the Spirit is backing him up. The Spirit of God is upon me. In other words, this is a supernatural offer. This isn't folk talking to other folk about freedom. This is a supernatural offer. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has come here today based on his word to make a supernatural offer because he's been authorized to do so.
Dr. Evans will return with more of today's message in just a moment. Stay with us.
Far too many of us want to throw in the towel before we've thrown up the prayers.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians have a habit of underusing or overlooking our most valuable spiritual resource.
Grace is available, but only at the throne, and you can only approach the throne through prayer.
You can deepen your connection with the Lord through our in-depth course on Kingdom Prayer at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll discover how God has wired the world to work by prayer and experience for yourself how it connects heaven with earth and time with eternity. You'll not only gain a new understanding and appreciation for prayer, you'll actually pray in transforming ways you've never experienced before. The course is intense, but you can work through it at your own pace and get all the help you need through our online forum. And of course, there's custom content from Tony not available anywhere else. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at tonyevans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today, tonyevans.org.
You know, if you've got the right tools and know how to use them, almost anything in your home can be fixed. And if there are areas in your life that need repair, the tools and tips you need for a proper restoration can be found in Tony's current series, The Spiritual Toolkit. This 10-message compilation focuses on finding your purpose as a child of God and then living it out successfully. And right now, this audio collection can be yours on CD or MP3 as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Your faithful support is the only way we can do that. And this special resource is our way of investing in you when you invest in Tony's ministry. As an added bonus, you can also get a couple of additional resources, a book for kids called Stories from the Storyteller, and an inspirational 365-day flip calendar. Get the details and make your request right from our homepage at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our friendly team members help you. I'll repeat our contact information for you a little later on, but right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's message. Let's join him.
I made a phone call for a repair I needed at my home, and I called and I was trying to get it worked out where the person would work out the repair, and I needed some other things done, and her statement was, "Sir, I'm going to have to get my supervisor because I'm not authorized to do that." She sincerely wanted to help, but she didn't have the anointing. She was not duly dubbed and recognized as having the capacity to give me what I needed to fix what was broke in my house. Her supervisor, a gentleman, came to the phone, and I explained to him the situation that I was having to get rectified, and he said, I am not authorized. And so I said, well, can you get me somebody who has the authority? I need somebody with some power, some clout, who has been anointed to be able to speak. I don't need somebody that's got to go to somebody else, has got to go to somebody else, got to go to somebody else, got to go to somebody. I want to get to the right person who has been duly authorized to fix my broke down situation. Finally, I got somebody on the line who had been anointed, who had the power to take care of what a lot of other folks wanted to help me with, but were incapable of solving. See, a lot of us been seeking freedom in all the wrong places. We've been going to scenarios that maybe want to help, would like to help, but they've not been anointed. They are not duly authorized to be able to set you free. But Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and I have been duly authorized. I have been anointed in order to set the captives free, or to proclaim good news that freedom is staring you right in the face. And I don't know what you need to be free from, but whatever it is, I know somebody who's duly authorized to offer it. Jesus opens the Bible and says, I've been duly authorized. Some of us have been trying to be free from something for years. You name it, and there's somebody in here that has it. It may be pornography, it may be gambling, it may be drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be cigarettes, it may be a cursing tongue, it may be an illegitimate relationship, it may be whatever it is. You've been trying for years. You've been like a hamster. You ever seen a hamster on a wheel? But I know somebody who's been duly authorized and anointed with supernatural power to set captives free. There's some here, people that you know, who feel like it's hopeless. This is my lot in life, and I'm just gonna muddle through, try to make it, get by the best that I can, and you've given up on ever thinking about being free. You know, how many have gone to Disneyland or Disney World? You've been to either one of those two, okay? Most of you. You know, after about 2 or 3 hours, you begin to think that all that stuff has been sized correctly. In other words, these are miniature buildings. When you walk in there, these are miniature buildings. But if you're there long enough, it looks normal. Because that's all you're surrounded with. So it looks like this is the way it's supposed to be till you come back out. And you're faced with the real deal about the real size of things. In other words, you can be duped into thinking this is how things are supposed to be. Because you've been hanging there for 2, 3, 4, 5 or all day. You've been hanging out there, so this is the way it's supposed to be. When that's not the real world, you've been duped to think that's the real world because you've been hanging there too long. Jesus Christ says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to proclaim good news. The gospel is good news. It is good news about eternity, because when you trust Jesus Christ, that means you're on your way to heaven. When you go to the cross for the forgiveness of sins, you're on your way to heaven. That's good news. It's good news to know the thing you fear most will never happen, death. Most people, if they gave their greatest fear, would be to die. The good news of the gospel is you will never die. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. As soon as you die, you won't be dead long enough to know you died, because you are immediately ushered into the presence of the Lord. So the thing you fear most is the thing that will never ever happen, because immediately you usher into the presence of the Lord if you've come to Jesus Christ for salvation. But the good news is more than heaven. The good news includes earth. Please notice the passage. He says, I've come to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, if you're poor, what's good news? That something is going to address your poverty. That something is going to change your status in life. If you're poor, that means something better is coming along. That's good news. If you're poor and you hear next week you're going to be poorer, that's bad news. If you're in captivity, good news is that you are going to be released, that somebody has posted bail. If you're in jail and somebody posts bail, that's good news, that you're going to be released from your captivity. If you're blind and now you know you're going to get to see, that's good news. If you're oppressed, somebody's got their foot on your neck, on your back, and you've discovered now that you're going to be released from that oppressive situation, that's good news. But this is not just about heaven, because you aren't poor in heaven. You aren't oppressed in heaven. You aren't blind in heaven. These are earth issues. Now, when people write about this passage, you'll see two extremes. There will be the spiritual interpretation that none of this is physical. It's spiritual poverty. It's spiritual captivity. It's all spiritual. So it doesn't relate to people's social condition. It doesn't relate to people's to slavery in America or in South Africa. It doesn't relate to that. It's all spiritual. Then you've got the liberation theology that makes it all social. Come to Jesus and he'll change the economics of the day, and he'll change the social structures of the day, and he'll change the political environments of the day. And to pick either extreme is to miss the point. Jesus starts off with, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he starts off spiritual, but his spiritual perspective goes to a practical reality. I am glad that Jesus Christ and my relationship with him is going to take me to heaven. I'm glad about that. But I'm also glad that my relationship with him can affect circumstances in history.
Dr. Tony Evans with encouraging news on how Christ offers freedom to those who choose to follow him. Before we go, I hope you'll take advantage of that special package of resources I mentioned a little earlier. For a limited time, when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's messages coming to you and others here on this station, we'll say thanks by sending you all 10 full-length lessons in his current audio compilation called The Spiritual Toolkit. And if you contact us right away, we'll send you this powerful sermon series bundled with a couple of additional resources, Stories from the Storyteller, a book for kids, or a 365-day flip calendar. Just visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org, or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. On January 1st, 1863, President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, declaring all slaves in the Confederate States of America were freed. But it wasn't until 6 months later, on June 19th, that people in Texas received that news. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans digs deeper into the Christian's liberation from spiritual bondage as he continues his exploration of the good news of freedom. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
But holy, listen. Now the world is living all kinds of lifestyles, but the life of a Christian should be pure and undefiled. Everybody has faults to repent thereof and then walk in the light, because holiness is right. Change. We must distinguish between